This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday, the 13th of May, and it's the day after Mother's Day. Xiaoning, what did you do for Mother's Day?
I made waffles for my mother.
Oh, how lovely. For breakfast?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
I decided not to fight with everybody at all the restaurants which were packed to the brim.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I think some of the restaurants that I called around to, they stopped taking reservations like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it was just nice being at home, actually.
It's true, yeah. So I made dinner for my mother as well. So I made kind of a roast salmon, and it was a nice overall event, and I didn't poison anyone, so that's a plus.
Are you that bad at cook, Lin?
I don't normally cook. So I can make a couple of things, but when you ask me to wing it without a recipe, that's when things get a little bit dicey.
I don't think you're that bad. We've seen some of the stuff you bring to work. Looks very yummy.
I don't make that, Xiaoning. My mother does.
Okay, thanks to all the mothers out there who's right, who look after us. They mean so much.
Absolutely. So today, what are we going to be talking about later?
Well, we're going to be talking about gyms, right? Where I think a lot of us pay for it, but then we never go, and then we still pay. Why?
This feels like a personal experience.
No, I go. I'm quite disciplined, actually.
You are, actually. I think you go something like 4 or 5 days a week.
Yes, I do. It's the fear of fat.
Okay, well, we're going to move on because I certainly don't go to the gym 4 to 5 days a week. And later on, we're also going to be talking a little bit about anger management. So stay tuned for that conversation after this. If you want to let us know what you think, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up is Rise and Shine by The Cardigans, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin and Xiaoning, and that was The Middle by Jimmy Eat World. Now, have you ever gotten angry enough that you feel like you're bursting with it? You want to stomp, scream, maybe break something, but of course it's not really socially acceptable to do all of these things. And there's this article in The Guardian which says that, as it turns out, there's a new fad on the market, and these are rage clubs. So dedicated places where you can go and let off steam, and they're cropping up in London and Norwich in the UK, as well as a couple in New York in the US.
Where are these clubs in Malaysia? I would like to go to one. Sometimes, you know, you feel like blowing off steam, right? But everyone says, no, you're a woman. You're supposed to be calm and collected and you don't scream and shout. What nonsense is that? I feel it too. But then, you know, we have to reserve everything, keep in within us and keep calm. Doesn't work.
I think because Asian cultures generally are also a lot more reserved than in the West. Do you find that? Because like people don't really talk about feelings, you know, they don't have huge expressions of anger. If you disagree with a coworker, generally you don't say anything. You just hold it in.
You are so right. Everyone's like just, you know, pretending to be nice, but actually there's deep rage within. But I think these clubs are a good idea. I mean, but the good thing about these clubs is it's not just an outlet for your anger, right? Because after that, they kind of calm down, they chat about it, there's some meditation. So it's not just getting mad for the sake of getting mad. They try to find a solution, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah. So after, you know, you've gotten that catharsis out of, you know, I guess in this case, it would be either scribbling, you know, your thoughts out onto paper or throwing things at a wall, supervised, by the way. then you've let all that rage out, and then you're willing and able to talk about maybe what made you angry and why it made you angry.
Yeah, so that's important. It's almost like a mini psychiatry therapy session, isn't it, in a way?
I guess it's a form of meditation. Because this reminded me a little bit of the colouring books that got popular about a year or two ago.
Oh, I hated that. Sorry.
Firstly, why?
Because I cannot colour. I couldn't colour as a 5-year-old, and I still can't colour as a 45-year-old. And it just looks terrible. So it made me even more annoyed. So if that was supposed to quell my rage, it didn't do anything. I think if I'm angry, the typical thing I do, which is really bad for my wallet, is to go shopping. Or I eat rubbish.
Retail therapy.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, some people play golf. Some people do yoga. I'm in Mid-Valley.
You are in Yeah, I actually never got around to trying the colouring books, but just because I could never bring myself to buy one because I was afraid I wouldn't finish it and that would just annoy me more. But I think that it's
essentially what it does is that it takes you out of your own head, right? Because sometimes when you're angry and you have to keep it to yourself, it just chases itself round your mind over and over until you can't think about anything else. So coloring, retail therapy, I guess, it takes you out of that headspace and gives you something outside of that to focus on and then calms you down. So overall, yeah, there is this thing called the catharsis myth theory that says that releasing anger, particularly through sort of, I guess, more violent means like breaking things, only makes things worse. What do you think about that?
So, like, if you are, like, violent begets more violence,
basically. But, like, just even, you know, with these rage clubs, half of it is throwing things at a wall. But that, so the catharsis myth theory will say that that doesn't actually do anything. That just makes you more angry.
But there's something quite satisfying with watching, like, I can imagine, like, a mug break, right? Or, like, a plate break. And then that whole chung! I mean, it's quite satisfying.
Satisfying in an environment where you don't have to clean it up afterwards.
Hence the Rage Club.
Exactly. So let us know what you think and how you manage your anger or let it out, so to speak. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back after this with more stories. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I Want to Break Free by Queen. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, we all aspire to a healthy lifestyle, but whether or not we achieve it is a bit more up in the air. I mean, gym subscriptions is part of that. Now, this Guardian columnist, Emma Brocks, she has been part of 5 gyms in her lifetime, and she will probably keep paying for these gym subscriptions, even if she doesn't really use them, because, as she says in the title, it represents hope. We live in hope that we will become better people and spend more time at the gym. Now, Xiaoning, you are a little bit of a fitness freak, aren't you?
I wouldn't say I'm a super fitness freak, but
you
yeah.
You go to the gym twice a week and you run twice a week.
Minimum, yes. Yes, I do.
I'm shaking my head at you right now because
I
cannot...
it.
Where do you find the time?
Well, I wake up at 6:30 and go running on weekends, which I know is a bit insane considering we get up at 4 regularly during the weekdays. So why would you get up at 6:30 on weekends?
Actually, 6:30 is a little bit of a lie-in for us, isn't it?
Yes, but it's lovely. It's lovely being outside early in the morning, getting some fresh air. It's still a bit dark. Mm. And it's just nice pounding the pavement. Yeah. I find it very relaxing. Maybe that's why I'm not so angry.
That's true. And we were talking about anger management earlier. So fitness is one of the ways that you manage your anger, it seems.
Yes, and I'm, of course, just vain. I'm just vain. I'll put it out there, you know, so that I can eat most of what I want. And I have to run it off eventually. So hence, you know, going to the gym since, I don't know, since 2000? That's a long time.
That is a long time. But, you know, if you say that you're just vain, I will say that I'm just lazy. I just don't want to go to the gym because I don't like the idea that I'm being scrutinized by other people in the gym. But so I'm a little bit self-conscious in that respect. And that's also, I guess, different gyms have different cultures. And I've been to some that are quite, you know, relaxed and that nobody's really paying attention to you. And those are the ones I like best. There are some that are very, very pretty. And the people there are all really very pretty. You know, boys and girls alike. And I'm just like, I don't want to be here.
Well, yeah, I noticed there's two types of gyms, right? You've got the, like you say, the really pretty ones with the Instagrammable, where mm-hmm. the women and the men are absolutely gorgeous. They've got the latest Lululemon outfits, everything matches, and their abs are showing, which will never happen to me because I have the hugest muffin top. But I mean, on the other hand, I love the gym I go to, which is Philip Wayne, which is this all women's gym. Mm-hmm. And it's so inclusive because in the gym, you have women of all shapes and sizes just trying to be fit, which is what we're trying to do at the gym, right? It's you want to be beautiful, but the most important thing is also you're fit and healthy. And the great thing about this all women's gym, especially when I first joined, is that at the classes, I was completely dodo. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't follow. And these women were just like, don't worry, you'll get the hang of it. And they were giving all these tips and I really enjoyed it. So I kept going. And if there's one thing I miss about from joining BFM is not being at the class at 7 a.m.
Yeah. Have you ever had this situation, though, where you pick up a gym subscription, but you find that you don't really use it, and yet you still maintain the gym subscription anyway because, you know, there's a part of you that hopes that you will eventually get there? Like, I know some of our producers here in BFM are like this because we work fairly long hours and we live in hope that we'll get to the gym upstairs, but some of us never really do.
I know some go up just to shower and use the sauna and steam.
That's true.
And then they relax and then they don't do any exercise. But, you know, I'm a cheapskate. So I calculate each gym session costs how much, right? And I think it works out to something like 20 ringgit each time. So I tell myself, if I don't go, I have just forfeited 20 ringgit, which is equivalent to like two dinners. And, you know, you never do that. So you just go, because otherwise it's 20 ringgit gone.
Two dinners or one salad, I guess.
Well, you all know
you're a millennial.
Yeah, but you know I don't buy food,
right? I was making the joke for you ahead of it because I knew you were going to say it at some point. But what about fitness as a business? How do you, you know, it seems like there are gyms and classes cropping up, you know, every which way you look, particularly because there is this renewed push to be healthy, to be fit.
I think it's great in a way when you have a variety of exercise classes.
Yeah.
It's no longer just gym in the traditional sense. Now you can just go for aerial yoga. Have you heard of adults picking up ballet?
Ballet dancing.
And this one I can't do, and I can imagine myself doing pole dancing as exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something for everybody out there. Don't worry, Lynn, you'll find that one thing that you like eventually, I think.
Yes, I will. I just need to find a dance class near me. I love dance classes. Those are great.
And then isn't there one upstairs, the beautiful gym upstairs?
Yes, but it is very beautiful and very Instagrammable. And I'm very reluctant to step foot in it because of it. It is very, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who do enjoy it. I am just not really one of those
people. I just tell myself, I don't care. I look good anyway.
That's true. You have to find your self-confidence.
Exactly.
Okay.
You just want to be a better version of yourself. You don't compare yourself with anyone, just a better version of yourself.
All right. That's motivational. That is a motivational quote from Wang Xiaoning this morning. Let us know what you think. Do you have a gym subscription? And if so, how often do you use the gym? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are heading into the 6:30 news. And to take you there is Natalie Imbruglia with Wrong Impressions, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. And that was Led Zeppelin with The Immigrant Song, which is incidentally a song that Xiaoning does not like. But
no,
it's too late because
we
played it already. But it's also kind of a fitting title because I guess we're going to be talking a little bit about immigrants in this next discussion. Because the Malacca State government has called on the Immigration Department to take action against foreigners peddling items on the streets of Malacca. So this is particularly rampant in on Jonker Walk. So the Star has an article about this, and the picture that accompanies it is it's quite a familiar sight. Okay, so white tourists sitting on a pavement in front of displays of ornaments. So those little like brass
trinkets,
yes, that people walk by and you pay like 5 ringgit for. But I guess why is this problematic, Shani?
I don't know. Now we have a new kind of foreign worker. That's something new. I haven't seen them because I don't think, do they exist in KL?
I think they're not so prevalent in KL as they are in places like Penang and Malacca. So tourist sites, but not so expensive as the capital city.
I don't know. I mean, they're here on a social visa, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you want to be fair. So if you have a social visa, you shouldn't be working.
Yes, basically.
So it's a new kind of illegal foreign worker, I guess.
It is. And I think the pushback against this sort of behavior more recently, so within, I think it's, we've seen it more in the last year or so, is because these people particularly, this is a behavior particular almost to white foreigners, right? Because they are coming from a place of where their passports are very strong. They can get into any country in the world that they want. And they get in on social visas and run out of money and do these things in order to fund their travels around the world. So it's seen as a particularly unfair sort of practice. Because if you're not white, if you are a brown foreigner, then it's very difficult for you to get into a lot of countries. You know, you have to show proof of funds, you have to assure the immigration authorities that no, we're not going to run away and work in your country for, you know, the next 2 years. But white foreigners are coming into our countries and essentially getting by scot-free. So obviously this is not a reflection on all white tourists as a whole, but it is a subset of them that has become more visible in recent years.
Yeah, I don't think a large proportion of tourists are coming in and selling their wares or busking, right? It's probably just a very small number who unfortunately probably have run out of money.
But then the argument is that if you knew that you were going to run out of money in the first place, why go on holiday?
You know, I guess maybe these backpackers take it easy. They're not such, you know, organized people. But at the end of the day, I'm not a big fan of this because, like I say, it's a social visa issue, right? You shouldn't come in. And I think in this article, what was a bit alarming was that these people, when they were videotaped, got a little bit angry and there was a bit of altercation. So they weren't even like being nice about it, you know. They sounded like they could be quite aggressive when you try and tell them, no, you can't do this.
I mean, perhaps they knew then, that because they know that it's an illegal practice and that they shouldn't be doing it, therefore they didn't want their pictures on video, maybe. So I guess the other aspect of this also is just a broader discussion on how we treat foreigners coming into the country to work. You know, it's just putting aside the fact that people may come in on a social visa and then extend and overstay. Do they lend a certain diversity to our cultures? Like, for example, if you go to places like Chinatown, you'll find that nowadays, it is primarily, I think it's like 90% foreigners in Chinatown selling items, making food. And you do hear complaints sometimes that, this is detracting from our Malaysian culture. But on the other hand, you could argue that it's lending something to our culture too.
I think the issue is that when you go to Chinatown, does it feel Chinese anymore? Right? That's what Chinatown is supposed to be like. And unfortunately for me, it doesn't. It doesn't have that Chinese flavor. It just looks like any other bazaar that you can go to around the world, right? And I mean, it's not so much the foreign workers working there. It's what we sell there. We just sell an array of stuff which you can find in Thailand and Vietnam. There's no individuality. There's no Malaysian craft involved. And I think the only part of that's a little bit more Malaysian in Chinatown is still the food, thank God. You know, you still have those regular guys selling that chestnuts, the tofu fa, that longan drink. Those are still run by locals. And that is Chinatown to me.
Yeah, but so I guess would you view Chinatown more positively if you saw more Malaysian crafts, for example, like things unique to Malaysia being sold there?
Exactly. I don't want to go to Chinatown and buy a fake LV bag. That is not Chinatown to me, right? I mean, what is a fake LV bag? It doesn't represent Malaysia, unfortunately. So there should definitely be more craft. There should be something, you know, like you can eat all the local foods there. You can buy our local craft. And you can see local Malaysians going about their business. You know, Chinatown in its past, right, was a place people used to go marketing. The wet market was there and the wet market still is there. But so few people go now. And then you had all these Chinese herbal stores, medicine shops. And to me, that's the sad part of Chinatown. All that is slowly going away.
I think there is definitely an argument to be made here for preserving some aspects of the Malaysian culture. But on the other hand, culture is also something that evolves with the times. So that's, you know, maybe there's a balance that can be found in between. Now, we're coming back with... thank you for all your messages, first of all. So we're going to come back and take a look at some of those in just a bit. But first, Englishman in New York, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run with Lin and Xiao Ning. And that was I Never by Rilo Kiley. Thanks so much for your messages this morning. We have some tweets and WhatsApps. Eddie Kramer says, I don't because outside is free. And that is in response to our gym discussion earlier where Shanning, I think you also kind of fall into this, right? Because, well, not fall into this, but you kind of ascribe to this idea because you go running outdoors.
I do. And then everyone else, is it safe? Are you okay? Okay, it's true. I do take a bit of risk, but I don't carry anything of value. And I usually go in my neighborhood where you'd be surprised how many people are also walking and running. And yeah. I wave to everyone and I say good morning.
Oh, okay.
And they say it back to me. It's very cute. It's very community, actually.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to go running in my area, but the problem, I think I've just let the safety thing get to me. You know, people just telling me that it's not safe. So somehow in my mind, I've come to believe it, so I just don't run.
Yeah, I mean, there is probably some risk, but I think if you keep to your neighborhood and you don't go anywhere dark, you know, or dark corners or dead ends, otherwise I think you should be all right, actually. And don't carry anything valuable, like I say.
But then sometimes you run before the sun is up.
Yes, I start at 6:30, which...
So everything's dark then, Johnny.
Semi-dark. But the point is it gets light brighter, right? Mm. So eventually you'll get to see a beautiful sunrise.
Okay.
And I always end the day at the market.
Oh, lovely. So you run to the market.
I literally run and put back all the calories into my body by buying breakfast.
It's okay. You think of it as you're borrowing against that later food that you're going to eat, right?
And we've got this... tweet, or is it a WhatsApp from Roger, who said that he joined the gym 8 years ago, and he's been going religiously for 7 days, including weekends and public holidays. And he's like me. He really maximizes his subscription.
That's very impressive.
Yes.
7 days a week is quite a lot of dedication.
Yeah, that's super dedicated. Yeah. Super duper dedicated.
I think the most I ever did at my height of gym going, I went twice a week. And already that was like, oh, I'm so lazy. I would just complain nonstop on the days that I wasn't going to the gym. So it's not surprising then that I don't go anymore. So, you know.
I think the one thing I can suggest is that you pack all your stuff. You get everything ready so you have less excuse. But there are other tweets, right?
No, so we do have another WhatsApp, though.
Oh, okay. This is on the tourists. And he said, Olivia says that the beggar tourists can be seen around the Bukit Bintang areas.
Yes, so this is in relation to our discussion earlier about... foreign tourists begging or peddling items on the street in order to fund their travels. And this is particularly a white tourist sort of behavior. And, Bukit Bintang and I think the Jalan Alor area,
yes,
right?
That's what Yong tweeted in. He says, if you go to the tourist trap eatery in Jalan Alor, you will see white foreigners asking for alms to fund their travel.
All right. And thanks so much for your messages this morning. We also have another discussion for you, which is the fact about, you know, healthy food. So Yong mentioned Jalan Alor, and that is not necessarily particularly healthy. But the thing is, if you don't want to eat that kind of food, healthy food nowadays is just an app click away. You can order it on your smartphones, because most of us do have a smartphone. And yet, we don't do it. Actually, some surveys are suggesting that we're eating more junk than ever.
But I find in BFM, people order very healthy. You know,
really?
You see all this like damakan, you know, like salad, poke bowls. They look quite healthy.
There's nasi lemak in the pantry every morning, Shaning. That's not healthy. Although some would say that nasi lemak is a full meal, I guess.
It is, but I do notice among the young ones, it's not the nasi lemak which is the killer, it's the nuggets. You guys love your nuggets, which is mystery meat, by the way.
Yes, I know. And I'm guilty of this.
Deep fried mystery meat.
I am guilty of this. And Shaning is giving me the dagger eyes because she's mentioned it multiple times.
I'm like, do you know what it is? And silence.
I just know
nobody
that
nobody knows.
I just know that it tastes good, which is, I guess, you know, the reason why people still buy into junk food, because at the end of the day, it's quick, it's calorie loading, and it tastes like guilty pleasure.
But I think these health food apps, right, can give you an option. In the past, there was less choice.
Absolutely.
So now with these apps, you can decide, you can make the choice that you want to order healthy. Think about 10 years ago, what choice was there for us if we wanted a salad? It didn't even exist. So now you can order in your salad, your poke bowls, and it's a good option rather than just having nuggets and nasi lemak every morning.
But on the flip side of it is that we are living in an increasingly digital world, and a lot of the marketing for fast food and for junk food is getting more prevalent and kind of more in your face. Like I don't think I've gone on to any social media without seeing an ad for a burger, for example,
yes,
in the past couple of days.
That's true. McDonald's does a lot of advertising. KFC does a lot of advertising.
Okay.
But I think the options are there, which is excellent for us.
Very good. Okay, so thank you so much for your WhatsApps and tweets this morning. Stay tuned at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.